big piece.
Good morning, everybody. We're so glad to see all of your smiling faces here today. And if you're visiting, we're especially glad to have you. We do have visitors' cards available if you'd like to fill one out and put it in the offering plate as it comes by. Today, the flowers are given to the glory of God by Steve and Mabelle Nelson. They are beautiful. Today at 12:15, we will be having our Super Bowl lunch, and the youth will meet at 6 o'clock to watch the game, and I understand they're going to have their very own halftime show, so then you don't have to worry about what's on TV. And on Wednesday night, we will have our regular services at 7 and at 7:45 choir rehearsal, and next Saturday at 10 a.m. is the Women's Enrichment Breakfast. We also ask that you remember the people on the prayer list when you have your prayer time every day. Does anyone else have an announcement? Let's turn to hymn number 426 and sing Victory in Jesus. Stand as we sing. Save a room.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Be glad to see Greg stand over here beside. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this wonderful day that you allowed us to come back to your house. And as we study your word, give us something to carry and share with us. And remember our sick and shut in grieving family, that we might comfort them in all they do. Now, dear Heavenly Father, go with us throughout this service and this week. And all this be asked in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
You know, I couldn't help but a certain buzz is feeling in the church today. I don't know if it's because Pastor Greg's back or we're having a meal.
Probably the soup.
You pick whichever one you want to get you motivated. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. Father, we thank you that you allowed us to be here through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Let us glorify him in our worship, Father. Let us use this offering, Father, to just do your will, Father, and just expand your kingdom. Father, we pray for Greg as he delivers our message, Father, that you will just bless us with your words, open our hearts for your message, Father, and strengthen him to deliver it, Father. We thank you and praise you for this glorious day you created. For us in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hymn number 287, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord. Take a minute to greet those around you while the children come up.
Good morning, girls.
Hello. So today's verse comes from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my way. In the spring and fall, you've probably seen huge flocks of birds flying overhead. What are those guys up to? Every year, certain animals move from one place to another in huge troops. It's called migration. Why do animals migrate? Usually, it's to find food, get to warmer weather, and or reach a safer place to have their babies. What scientists don't understand is how animals know when to move and where to go. Perhaps it's the change in the weather or the length of the days that tell animals when it's time to move. And perhaps they use the stars, the sun, or even the wind patterns to figure out which way to go. Scientists say animals are just born knowing what to do. They call it instincts. But that's really just a fancy way of saying God tells the animals, his creation, what to do. And he does the same thing for you. In a different way, when you don't know what to do or where to go or how to get there, God gives you the answers, and you can find them in his word, the Bible. Some people turn to friends or family or other people when they don't know what to do. And that's okay, but remember that those people aren't perfect. You need to be sure to talk to God. Only he is perfect. And only his answers are always right. Who wants to pray?
No one.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us come to church and learn more about you. Be with Pastor Greg as he gives our message, and be with all the people this week. Amen.
Thank you.
I don't usually pay much attention to the clock, but man, y'all are moving quick this morning. It's almost like it's a building full of Baptists that know there's food in the back building. Amen? That changes things. Good morning. This is quite a day. I am so grateful to be back here. I just want to look at you for a minute and take it all in. I missed this. I missed y'all. Y'all are a pretty bunch of people, you know. I missed you, and it's been quite a difficult stretch of time since December the 16th. And worst of all, I think a lot of the time was not being able to be here with you. This is my church family. This is a family reunion every Sunday, and I love it. And so, yeah, I just want to take it in. I want to look at my church family and just tell you how good it is to be back here with you today. And let me say before I move on, thank you, church family and friends, for your sustaining prayers. I was getting to watch a service each week online, and I would hear the prayers of the little fellows. And you know God hears the prayers of Thomas and Tyler and all those little fellows that were praying. And that's why I'm standing up here today for prayers. Thank you for that. Thank you for every phone call, every text, every visit, every gift. What y'all did for us last Sunday was just above and beyond. And every encouraging word, I tell you, those encouraging words, you sent them just when we needed them most. And it was uplifting every time. In church, you fed us, you provided. I think I gained weight while I was out. I don't usually eat that big, but y'all fed us and you provided for us, blessed us in every way. We're forever grateful to you. Like a Bette Midler song, you were sort of the wind beneath her wings, but better said and rightly said, you have been the hands and feet of Christ in this situation. Now, I was thinking about something. I had a lot of recliner time. Y'all know what that is? When you can't do anything else, you get a lot of recliner time. And I watched every old Western, black and white Western, until I had them memorized. But one day a commercial caught my eye when I was thinking about y'all. Really was. I don't know what about the black and white Westerns brought it up, but I was thinking about y'all. And there's a TV commercial. Y'all maybe know what I'm talking about when I say it. Timothy Wellborn, you know his slogan? Says, you'll know when you need us, right? I'll tell you what, you get to needing your church family, you will know when you need them. When the life's trials come, as they inevitably will, you'll certainly know when you need a church family. Amen? Thanks be to God for what he created when he created the church family, and you especially, you in particular. Let me also thank all the fine men who pitched in to fill this pulpit. It's one good thing here, the bench is deep. Y'all didn't miss a beat. You had the best of the best, Pastor Rodney and Steve and Jimmy and Perry and Vic on Wednesday nights. And I just want to say, may God bless each of you, because you really were a blessing to the church. You were a blessing to me as I got to hear your messages each week, and they really fed me. Nothing wrong with any of that, just needed to be back here with you. We love and appreciate you all beyond what simple words could ever express. I believe there's no other church family like Bear Creek Church family. When things are at their worst, my friends, you are at your best. May God bless you for it as the way you blessed us. Okay. As we work our way towards this message, this is something I've been thinking about for weeks. Again, you got time to think when you sit still like that. And shortly after I fell, I knew that if I was to ever get to preach again, a particular message of Scripture must be the topic of this first sermon back. It's found in Genesis 32. It's the story of Jacob wrestling with God. Y'all remember that story? And he came away with what? Bad hip, yeah. So I said, how appropriate could this be? How more appropriate could it be? When will I have ever had a better opportunity now than to share such a message when I'm standing up here with a messed up hip? So today, let's think about this thing of wrestling with God. You probably never thought about that. A good friend of mine sent me a text yesterday and said you could have titled it Wrestling for Blessing, and that'd be definitely accurate to the point. But I settled on wrestling with God. And let me ask you a question. How many would raise your hand and say, I've wrestled with God? Yeah. Some of you get it. You know where we're going. Amen. All right. So maybe you've wrestled with him over wants and needs that were seemingly left unmet. Or maybe you wrestled with him over job opportunities or relationships, hurts, desires of the heart, even losses. You can just fill in the blank with whatever you persisted in bringing to the Lord in prayer. You're wrestling messages with God, unwilling to relent until you're prayerful in your prayerful pursuit. You were insistent, I'm going to have an answer from God. And And been there, anybody? Anybody besides me? You just wouldn't let up? Okay, good. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But I think on the day that I was injured, I was wrestling, but I wasn't wrestling with the things I should have been wrestling with. I surely wasn't wrestling with God. I was wrestling with schedules because I was trying to be where I thought I needed to be in a hurry, wrestling with expectations, trying to please anybody that needed something of me, wrestling with Christmas shopping lists because it was right about that time. Maybe a whole lot of wrestling with or for a lot of things, maybe even good things, but in hindsight, church, they were not the most important things. Anybody want to testify there? Have you been there? Have you done that? Man, we're on the same page today. And then one bad step, though, and everything changed. One bad step's all it took. Suddenly, my wrestling career, so to speak, was halted. It came to a halt for sure. Suddenly, my priorities changed. Suddenly, all I'd been prioritizing was moved to the bottom of that list. It wasn't so important anymore. And I would now be wrestling with God for healing. I'd be wrestling with God for restoration. And let me tell you something, church. When you hit bottom, you will look up. At that moment, you will look up. You will be looking for God and laying there on the ground that day realizing, and this is how I'll put it, I had done messed up. You know what I'm talking about? When I hit, I knew it. I'd done messed up. I'm pretty sure my first words were this, "Oh, dear Lord, help me." That's a good way to put it, and that's a good thing to do. I'll tell you this, it was the wisest thing I had said all day. I should have said that. I should have prayed that before I ever got out of bed. I would encourage strongly to each of you to do just that each day. Start your day by looking to the Lord and asking Him to help you before you even know what you're going to need help with that day. Sometimes we just need to do that. Amen? Look to the Lord. And let me just veer off course slightly and offer this encouragement. If you'll get up every day and if you'll give yourself and everything you have and do over that have to do that day, give it all over to God, then no matter what situation you find yourself in, you will look to the Lord and you will find Him. His word promises He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I can tell you confidently this, never was there a moment during all of this when I didn't feel the Lord there with me. Church, when I tell you I had peace from the first moment all the way through, I did. Never have I known a more severe pain. Never have I felt more helpless yet. Never have I been more confident in the peace and the presence of God. I just knew He was there. Amen? You know, some things over the past few weeks are clearer than others, but I clearly remember one thing. I remember being rolled down the hallway from the pre-op to the emergency room, or to the operating room that night, and I said this. I said, "Lord, I'll see you back here in a little bit, or I'll see you in heaven, but I just know I'm going to see you." Amen. Church, if you belong to Jesus, you ought to have that same peace, that same confidence, regardless what situation you find yourself in. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll get back on track. I just had to testify today. Once in a while, Baptists got to testify. Get that out of the way. Our message today comes from Genesis 32. You can go ahead and be working your way there. It's verses 22 through 31. You probably know this story, or at least familiar with it. We're not going to go into the greatest depth of it. I'm going to focus on this one particular point, but I'll give you time to get there. And while you're getting there, I'm going to look at you again. Take it all in. I missed you. I already brought my phone and took a picture just so I could keep it. Anyway, glad you're here. Y'all got it? You're on point? I need to open mine so I'll have it, don't I? All right. We're going to start with verse 22 and work our way through 31. And this is what it says, and we're kind of picking up midway in the story. But the same night, and he's talking about Jacob arose and took his two wives, two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." What a powerful statement. And God, and that's who I say this is, God said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And then God said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. All right, so if you will, because I just missed you that much and I love doing this to y'all, look at the person beside you and seriously, as you can, if you can, say it seriously, you want to wrestle later? Is that the halftime, Rodney? Rodney and Lynette are wrestling at halftime today. So y'all come tonight. At first I thought it was break dancing, but we don't need no more pastors broken. No, yeah. But say, I promise not to break your hips. So. All right. Won't you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to gather in your house today. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us all together. Thank you, Lord, that there's a burden on our hearts to be here with each other, more so to be with you. Thank you, Lord, there's a hunger still for your word in this world today. And Father, I pray that we never lose that hunger, but I pray that it's something that, Lord, becomes contagious and it reaches others, that we would be a ministry and a witness in this community and wherever you put us, Lord, to draw others to you. Father, guide us in our time together. It's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Here in Genesis 32, in this passage, we find Jacob. He's making his way to the land that God has called him to. He's got all his own with him, his family, with his servants, with his livestock. He was making his way toward Canaan. And though he didn't realize it, he was also headed toward an encounter with God. And that's what we'll focus on today. That's that narrow focus we'll have today. And so just sort of paraphrasing our way through these first couple of verses at verse 22, the night of the encounter, and I'm again paraphrasing, Jacob along with his two wives, this is where you fellas say, bless his heart. Imagine that. And two female servants and 11 children, bless his heart again. 11 children, just putting one through college would be a chore today. But anyway, and all else he owned, he crossed over the Jabbok River. He got everyone and everything that he had all settled. And then Jacob was left alone. Now, that's where we're at. Now, let's think about this a minute. For the scene is now set for one of the most unique encounters with God anyone has ever experienced. I'd be so bold as to say none of us has ever literally locked arms and wrestled with God. That's what makes this encounter so unique. But in a figurative sense, most all sincere believers have had similar encounters with God. And here's what I mean by that. I won't leave you hanging. Somewhere, think about this, in the silence of the night, apart from all the distractions, you've talked to God, reasoned with God, begged and pleaded with God over something that kept you awake. Maybe even you've been robbed of sleep because you were listening to God as he told you something or dealt with you on something. Sound about right? All right, hands up if you've been there. I want to make sure you stay with me. Nobody goes to sleep before lunch. All right, in a very real sense, church, in that moment, you were wrestling with God. Okay, now some questions for you. Why then? Why in that way? Why must it so often happen in the still of the night? Think about that a minute. Here's why. Bear with me. I'm going to share a term with you before we get to all that. But I learned a new term this week in studying this, so I'm going to learn you something too, right? So you're going to get a new term today, one that surely applies here, one that explains what we're talking about here. There was a British writer named Walter Savage Landor that called solitude, that moment of silence, that rare moment of silence, he called solitude the audience chamber of God. You got that? Say it with me. The audience chamber of God. That's that moment. That'll stay with me. That'll be one I remember each time I find myself in the presence of God in the middle of the night. I find myself there awakened by him, awakened as he speaks to me, something I would never have heard in the midst of a busy day. And I'll realize what? I'm in the audience chamber of God. Maybe that'll affect you the same way. For when else, though, are we quiet enough to hear God? Think about it. How busy is your life? How busy is your Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, however it works? When else are all the other distractions silence? Phones, computers, TVs, jobs, family, whatever draws your time away. Your golf swing, it doesn't matter. Whatever draws you away. And so looking at this passage, Jacob here finds himself where? In the audience chamber of God. And so apart from the distractions now of not one but two wives, fellas, think about that. Can you imagine? Two wives? Think about Valentine's Day and anniversaries and birthdays. You ain't just buying for one. Two. One's all I can handle. I love her, but she's high maintenance. She's expensive. No, I'm just kidding. They don't make them no better than that one right there. Anyway, all that and I done lost my place. Anyway, Yeah. Again, away from the distractions, all those children, 11 children, again, think about Christmas, mind for that. But anyway, apart from distractions, possessions, and the responsibilities that demanded his attention, as verse 24 says, Jacob is now left alone. That's not a bad thing. It is for me. I hate my own company. Do y'all feel that way? I don't like me. I get on my nerves. I don't like to spend time with me. Thank the Lord that he shows up, because I love spending time with the Lord. But Jacob was left alone. My friends, we see Jacob here had, though, intentionally sent ahead, set aside all these distractions. Look, we need to learn to do the same thing. Get the distractions, intentionally do it. For we're most often visited by God in the deep of night. Again, I'll say it, because when else would we be quiet enough to listen? But if you were to, as Jacob did, intentionally set aside the distractions and find a quiet place, I highly recommend this altar. I come almost every day. If I'm able to make it, I'm here every day at this altar. But wherever, whatever works for you, find that place, clear your heart and your mind, and seek God. Then the audience chamber of God can be yours at any time. Maybe he won't wake you up in the middle of the night. Amen. Some of us need our sleep. If you believe in beauty sleep, I need all the help I can get. Amen. Don't amen that. Say, no, not you. No, anyway. All right, I would encourage you, though, to go ahead and set aside a place, if possible, even set aside a day or a time each week, and get along with God, pouring out your heart and working out, church, whatever needs working out as you do your own wrestling with God. Sound good? Amen. All right, so look again at verse 24, and I'll read it to the full. Jacob was left alone, and a man came and wrestled with him there until morning. Okay. I'm going to show you a couple of things in this verse that I really want you to see. And I'm going to tell you what they are first, and then we'll talk about them. But first is, seek the Lord and you will find him. And a second, God will meet you where you are. All right, you got those in your mind? Okay, let me show you. You ready? Are you on the edge of your seat? Are you white knuckling the front of the pew in front of you there? Are you ready to hear this? Are you ready to lean in, so to speak? All right. God came to Jacob in the quiet of the night near the Jabbok River. Why? First, because Jacob was seeking God. I'll show you what I mean on that. That's made clear. If you went back and just look at verse 9, I'm just going to read you a couple of words from verse 9. But Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. Clearly, he was praying. Clearly, he was calling out to who? God. And then second, why there? Why at that place that night? And it's simple, because that's where Jacob was. That's not too hard to grasp, is it? God came to him where he was. Do you think God might do the same for you? Amen. I do. Yes, amen, he will. He came to me December the 16th when I was flat on my back in our driveway, because, and make no mistake of this, I was definitely seeking him in that moment. I promise you, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Because that's where I was at. And because that's where I was, he didn't say, get up and get yourself and I'll meet you, get yourself to a better location and I'll meet you. Not at all. God was there with me. And folks, he has come to you so many times in your lives, wherever you were, in whatever situation or circumstance you were in, because, church, that's where you were. God comes to you. And most importantly, God came to you because you sought him. Amen? We need to be constant seekers of God. He's always aware of your whereabouts and your situations. And most times, he's just waiting for the invitation to intervene. If you don't invite him, is he going to come? But if you invite him, God will show up for you. Amen. All right, so he's always aware of your whereabouts and your situations. And most times, again, waiting for that invitation to intervene. Seek the Lord and you will find him, and God will meet you, church, where you are. All right, so let's dig it just a little bit deeper. Look, we don't know everything that was covered that night. We don't know the full depth of the conversation between God and Jacob. Not every topic there, but we know this, Jacob had a lot on his mind. Anybody besides Jacob here, me? A lot on his mind. He was thinking about where he was headed. And if you go back and read the deeper story we won't cover today, it would tell you he was thinking about what and who he was about to encounter. He was about to meet a brother he hadn't seen in a while in this tense situation. You can go back and read that full story on that sometime. Anyway, Jacob needed God's help. He needed God's blessing. And look, what I love so much about this, he was determined to have it. He was determined that he would have that. And just look what verse 24 says. Jacob wrestled with God all night until the break of dawn. You ever spent the whole night in prayer? We need to do that. That's persistence, isn't it? Remember, Paul taught the Thessalonian church, pray without ceasing. That's what we're looking at here. Pray without ceasing. Don't quit praying. Don't say amen. Just keep on praying. If you have to speak to somebody, speak to them. Get back to praying. If you have to write a sentence, write it. Get back to praying. Pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. It's also a picture of the woman Jesus spoke of in the parable of persistent widow. You remember that one? Relentlessly, she took her petition for justice before a certain judge until she wore him down, and he honored her request. Jesus teaches us in that parable, about that parable, a strong, relevant lesson in regard to such persistence. This is Luke 18, verse 7. He said, "Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him when? All day and all night. Will he delay long over them?" And Jesus said, and this is Jesus' words, he said, "I tell you, he will give them justice speedily." Amen. Church, how quickly do we give up? Think about how we pray. Lord, be with John and help him to get well. Amen. Next. Right? We do that so often. I'm guilty. On to the next task. When was the last time or the only time you refused to let up in praying for something? When you said, "I'm not going to turn loose, God. I need you. I'm in a mess. I need your help." And you wouldn't let go. Make no mistake, it matters what you're praying about or wrestling for. I cannot tell you today you're going to get a new truck if you don't need a new truck. I cannot tell you you're going to get a bigger house if the house you have is all you need. But you think about this. Sincere prayers in line with the will and the things of God are honored. I promise you today, God has a best in mind for you and is just waiting to give it to you. It is His best for you. Jesus taught it this way, and it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Make sure it's in His name. Make sure it's something you could put Jesus' name on that's in line with His will and His plan. And guess what you do? You go to praying, amen? Trusting and confident. Folks, seek His will, pray without ceasing, and like Jacob, wrestle until you succeed. Amen?
Amen.
Lost you again. Lunch is only hour and a half away. No, I'm just kidding. Look at verse 25. When God saw that Jacob wasn't going to give up, he knocked his hip out of joint. Let's all say this together. Ouch. Does God really need to get to that point to get your attention? Have you held on so long, though, that he had to get you to turn loose? Same thing. I feel the man's pain there, but do you reckon there was any purpose in his pain? I pondered this for days. I just too much time to think. I never say, "Why me?" because that's not my way of thinking. I'd be more likely to say, "Why not me?" You know, when we ought to be that way. And I don't believe in accident or coincidence in regard to the workings of God. There is always a reason. There's always a purpose in everything that God does. And so my prayer was, "Lord, don't let me miss this. If there's a lesson, whatever you're doing in this, let me see it." And I don't even think I ever realized I was wrestling, but I wanted an answer. And so I continued to ask. I looked and I listened. I watched and I waited again, asking until one day it came to me just as clear as I'm talking to you. And the voice said this, "What if you're just clumsy and you fail?" Testify. Maybe so. Honestly, I was seeking a grander, more meaningful answer, something deep and profound, life-changing and impactful. But I pressed in and I further persisted and I continued to wrestle with God. And through this, I've seen God working in mighty ways during this time. Think about this. No surprise, I saw you come together as a church. You helped us. You never missed a beat. I saw you step up and fill in every deficit that might have been left by our absence. I seen you carry on the work. There were funerals to be done. The funerals got done. Two salvations during this time. There'll be four baptisms soon over what happened during that time. Yes, I've seen God move in mighty ways. Also realized a week or so ago, Stephanie and I will soon be together 40 years. Everybody say, bless her heart. Right. But I can tell you this, in 40 years together, there had never been so long of a stretch where we were together day and night. Near about 6 weeks, bless her heart again, a month and a half of every day, all day together, and she still loves me, I hope. anniversary coming up, you better answer that right. Anyway, something else happened. When else in my life, in the last 40 or more years, or the whole 35 that I've been alive, I'm only 35 years old, y'all know, or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, I have never had such a great and wonderful unoccupied time to spend time with God, praying to Him and talking to Him and listening to Him and learning from Him. That was precious fellowship, church. And this may sound crazy, but because of that, I wouldn't trade what happened to me for anything. Amen? That's precious time. There was purpose in the pain, church. Purpose in the pain. And like Jacob, God left me with some scars. He left me with a limp, so I won't ever forget. I don't need to learn that lesson again. I learned my lesson, church. Learned that lesson. And my friends, if and when something happens to you, please understand, yes, there's a purpose in what you're going through. Whatever kind of pain it is that you're experiencing during that time, there's a purpose in that pain. I want you to just trust the Lord in that. Trust Him in this. I read an A.W. Tozer quote that fits so well with that and with what we're about to look at in this message. I want to share it with you. Tozer said this. I love this. He said, God cannot fully bless a man until he has conquered him. How many of us are conquered? How many of us are conquered that way? Think about that for a moment. Wouldn't you rather have, though, God's full blessing than anything less? Blessed. It's pretty clear Jacob had something that he needed to deal with, something that he wasn't letting go with, he hadn't dealt with until now. Go back and study Jacob's life, this story in detail, and you'll find a few skeletons in Jacob's closet. He hadn't always got it all right. I'll leave you to research that. Maybe God will give us a sermon on that later. But anyway, I believe many of us, or at least some of us, are in that same place today as Jacob. You're not fully conquered. Not letting go of or dealing with some things that are standing in the way of God's greatest blessing, seemingly content with far less than. Not fully surrendered. Yes, well, I'll say, Jesus is my Savior. Right? Is He Lord over your life? And I mean every area of your life. Is there a part you're holding on to you hadn't quite let go of? He needs to conquer you in that area. Get rid of that mess. God's best waits on the other side, if we will. Amen? Just like Jacob crossing the Jabbok, we'll cross the river and things will change if we'll surrender it all to the Lord. I've talked to folks in this condition, those who've almost convinced themselves, well, what I'm doing is okay. What I've got is good enough. Man, if you could see God's best, good enough ain't ever going to be good enough. And if you content yourself with that, you'll never know the great joy found in fully surrendering to God's will, His way, and His plan as it's so clearly spelled out in His Word. Again, borrowing from Tozer's words, you have not allowed God to fully conquer you. And you have therefore never allowed God to fully bless you. Church, I pray it don't take a messed up hip to get you to learn that lesson. There's easier ways to do it. Moving on, I meddled in your business long enough. I don't want people staring at me too mean. On the other side of what we see in Jacob's story today, he would finally get some things right and he would experience some blessings. He would be conquered by God. And it's my prayer that we will all get to that same place, be conquered by God. Look at verse 26. God said to Jacob, let me go for day has broken. But Jacob refused and said, I won't let you go till you bless me. Man, that's bold. But I thought about that a lot. What a lesson. Refusing to accept anything less than God's best and clinging to God until you receive it. I'm in the midst of praying for something right now and I ain't going to let go. This lesson convicted me. I'm not going to let go. My friends, we're to always do the same. We're to take every decision, desire, want, need, and struggle to God and seek His blessing in all things. Not some things, not a few things, all things. If it's a part of your life, let God bless it. We settle for far less, far too many times. Church, we've often blessed ourselves instead of hanging on a bit longer for God's blessing. And that's how we end up in less than God-honoring relationships and how we end up making less than the best decisions and how our struggles are far more difficult than they should be. Church, Jacob knew all this. His past reflected all this, but his future was going to be so much better and his hope so much brighter. For now, he would seek the great blessing of God. And the following verses tell us that God would indeed bless him. He hung on. He wrestled with God. And God also, it says here in the scripture, and I'm kind of moving on quick so you ain't you ain't too late for lunch. But God gave him a new name, Israel. You ever thought about that? I had to look up some definitions just so I was clear. But one definition says it means one who prevails with God. Yes, amen. That's what I want. Amen. Call me one who prevails with God. And let me encourage each of you, your past may also reflect those things, bad decisions and all the rest, but your future can be so much brighter and your hope so much better. If you too will wrestle, will continue to contend with God and trust in God for the greater things, and I mean the greater things that He has in mind for you. And it may just be that you too will become to be known as one who prevails with God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful title to hold? Each of us to be one who prevails with God. Verse 31, we're about to finish up. Old Jacob, think about him, what 31 shows us there. Old Jacob, he limped home, kind of like I'm limping today. He limped home. But guess what? It was well worth it because he limped home blessed. I'll take a little limp and get that blessing. I guess sometimes, though, we all need a subtle reminder. Maybe we all need a little hitch in our giddy up, so to speak, to slow us up so that we'll spend some time with God, but also, church, that we'll come away with His blessing. And I'll stop there because we're going to leave room for God to work. Let God's word, let God's message convict you unto change and encourage you unto action. We need to act on this. Let's not just hear this and let it bounce off and be another sermon and go on with our lives. Let's let it stick in your hearts and your minds. Just trust Jesus. Take hold of Jesus. Refuse to let go until you know that you know that you know that you have His blessing on your life in every way. And then there's that most important of all points. Know that you have surrendered unto Him for salvation. Lost soul, if there is a lost soul, front building, back building, those watching us online, wherever you're at, know that you have surrendered unto Jesus for salvation. For without that, none of the rest of this stuff can be received. You're robbing yourself. You're robbing yourself of the best you could get here, but more so, you're robbing yourself of that brighter day ahead. I tell people all the time, brighter days ahead. Yes, amen, because I'm looking up. At my age, you quit looking behind you. That's a long way back. The shadow behind me is really long, and the future is pretty short. So think about that. Think about heaven, and don't make sure you don't want to miss that. During our time of invitation today, church, let go and let God have His way with you. The song we're going to sing, and I ask for this person because I love it. Have thine own way, Lord. That's the hymn of invitation. Have thine own way. Are you saying it, though? Are you doing it, church? When you're in those quiet moments, when you're in that audience chamber of God, are you saying to God, I'm done wrestling, I'm done arguing, have thine own way? We need to do it every day in every part of our lives. We need to do it today in this time of invitation. So however God is moving you, I'm going to pray, and then the altar is yours so that you might surrender to His will, His way, His plan. Amen. Bow with me for prayer. Our Father, we are so grateful that you allow us to contend with you, that you allow us to bring these things before you, that you allow us to speak our hearts and our minds, to argue, even to complain to you. But you love us so much that you just keep hanging on. You keep seeking to bless us. Lord, help us to get out of your way so that we can do this. Help us to fully surrender to you in every way. Lord, I'm tired of wrestling, but I'll keep wrestling with you because I trust you for the end results. Help us today in this time of invitation. Touch hearts and minds as only you can, as only you will. For it's through Christ in His precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. out of the way for a minute. Super Dave's got something to do this morning. This is good stuff.
Good morning, Bear Creek.
Good morning.
All righty. Andrew and Landon Pope, y'all come on up. They are the newest members that have gone through the new members class. Technically, they're grandfathered in because of their mama, but I always want to recognize them because they've been through the new members class. So, if everybody agrees like me that they should be a member of Bear Creek Church, raise your hand and say, hey. Amen. Any opposed? All righty. Landon?
There you go.
Andrew?
I know it was hard work from Grandpa doing your class. You know, I wasn't easy on you. You know. But congratulations.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. No greater joy than to see your grandkids succeed. Mine's here today. Moon Pie is over there in the corner. Proud of Moon Pie. What a joy it has been to be back with you today and be started back and just getting back to something that looks like normal again. I was going to tell you about this cane. This cane came from Denny Rollins. So when I first got it, it was a crutch. Think about the height difference there. So I cut it off and made it fit. Anyway, we're about to have lunch in the back building, and it's going to take probably a few minutes, so y'all take your time to get back there. But I know you're hungry. I know you're excited. I've been in my office smelling that soup all morning. I'm hungry. But it's going to be good. But give them a few minutes to get everything set up, and then we'll convene in the back building, and we'll gather around the tables and fellowship together and eat lunch together. Has it been good to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If I can get him to, I'm going to see if I can get my favorite son-in-law, also my only son-in-law, but my favorite son-in-law, I'm really proud of him, to come up and close us in prayer.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the beautiful weather outside. And Father, most of all, thank you for putting Pastor Greg back up here in this pulpit. Lord, we know that the church was doing fine without him here, but he's an integral part of these people's lives and certainly is an integral part of my life and Rachel's life. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings that you've poured out upon us. Father, we ask that you help us in what Greg talked about this morning. How are we wrestling with you, and help us understand that sometimes the trials and tribulations that we're going through are just part of life, and that those things are guiding us towards you in some way, Father. And we ask that you help us to see those messages clearer than ever, hopefully without breaking a hip. And Father, it's through Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.